But right now, a really interesting piece in the pages of the Toronto Star. It's written by Jamie Watt, a veteran political consultant and conservative strategist, in which he talks about the decision by the citizens of Calgary to reject plans, or a proposal anyway, to seek the Olympics for 2026, the Winter Olympics. Jamie Watt joins us now. Jamie, good afternoon.
Hey, Rick, how are you?
Very good, thank you. Interesting article here. You suggest that the decision by the citizens of Calgary to reject the idea of seeking, you know, making a bid for the 2026 Games was really a bit of a populist revolt against the big projects that elites like to bring forward. Why do you think that?
Well, I think that we're seeing, not just in the Calgary decision, but we're seeing it in Ontario and other places, that people are suffering. You know, people are not getting ahead. Costs are going up far faster than their income is going up, and faster than their ability to deal with it. And as a consequence, they're becoming more concerned about their families, about their income, and about their household expenses than they are about these sort of bigger, sort of, you might call them projects of civil society, these smaller liberal projects of, you know, greening the grid or social cohesion or these big parties like the Olympics. And they're saying, you know, sometimes, even though you'd like to go to Florida, you've got to fix your kids' teeth first. And, you know, you got to pay the bill for the orthodontist before you can pay the bill to go to Disney World. And I think that's what we're seeing. I think Calgarians have been, it's been pretty tough out there. Oil has been at a low price for a long, long time. A lot of people have lost their jobs. And I think the citizens were saying, look, never mind a great big party. I think we need to get to work on some of the basics first. And I think we're seeing that, you know, in lots of different places.
Yeah, it's really interesting. But if you go back to the early 80s, it was, you know, there was populist sentiment supporting the idea of hosting the Olympics back then.
Of course.
Was it just because the economy was better then?
But times were different then, right? Times were different then. I mean, I think that's one of the really interesting things about Calgary saying no, because, as you know, even to this day, those games were a defining point in Calgary's history, right? It really was a coming of age for the whole city. They're still extremely Olympic proud. You know, they still talk about the fact they had more volunteers, you know, for those Olympics than anybody else, and so forth and so on. So it's just that they're saying no for all time, but they're saying no for right now. It's about setting priorities. And I think the priorities of some of the politicians were bent out of whack with the priorities of hardworking Calgarians.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, how is it they got so out of sync? Because politicians have to manage the issue of declining incomes, a shortage in tax revenues, all of the challenges that a decline in the oil industry has affected that province. They have to deal with that issue. Why are they not similarly in line with the public that says, not now?
Well, because, Rick, I think while they have to deal with it, they don't, which is true, and it consumes them in their working day, it doesn't affect them the same way as it affects the average, what we might call Jack and Jill front porch. Let me tell you a little story. There's a woman in London, Ontario, that participated in some research that we did after Mr. Ford won. And, you know, she explained why she voted for Doug Ford. And she said, you know, I'm 40 years old. I'm a single mom. I'm a low-income worker. I'm pretty proud of my little family, my two kids and myself. We're doing our best. I don't have everything, but she said, I've got everything I need. But, you know, when that hydro bill comes in, I just leave it on the hall table by the front door, because when I open it, I know I'm going to cry because it's going up faster than I can deal with it. And she said, I used to smoke. I've given that up. I used to drink a couple glasses of white wine a day. I've given that up. And there's really not much else I can do. So these rising costs against not the lack of a rising income are very real for people in their own personal everyday life, unlike a politician where they're just sort of a problem or a nuisance at the office. And I think that explains the difference. And I think that's probably what was going on in Calgary as well.
I tend to associate, you know, grassroots sentiment, like you're talking about, to be maybe represented by people on the right of the political spectrum. And historically, it was people on the left. I'm thinking of Toronto when they were talking about getting the Olympics, and there was that whole bread and circuses campaign by the left in Toronto.
Right. Yep,
to stop that, it seems to be as though things have turned themselves on their head in that respect, that now we have grassroots conservatives. People are more interested in that hydro bill than, you know, putting on a fancy show for the world.
Well, and of course, I think a part of that is because we've redefined what those labels mean. That woman that I described to you is not a conservative voter. She voted conservative for Doug Ford for the first time in her life. She's not a natural conservative voter, but her personal circumstances at home were such that she just couldn't take it anymore. You know, it was fine to have all these great promises, you know, to have the, you know, to green the grid, to have alternative energy, everything else. But at the end of the day, as much as she might have agreed with that or thought it was a good idea or could see value in it, she said, I just can't afford it. She said, I need some relief. And I think so, you're right. I think it's not so much a right-left paradigm anymore as it's an affordability paradigm. Because you're quite right. It, you know, in Toronto particularly, those bread and circus people were very successful in putting a stop to it.
I interviewed quite a few people about the Calgary decision leading up to and after the plebiscite. And where I saw the suspicion lie among the no forces, for sure, was the IOC itself. They just did not trust those bandits. They just felt that, you know, they took care of themselves. They reaped millions in profits, and they left in the wake of these Olympics often huge debts. And I'm wondering if that kind of sort of reinforces your point that Olympics are increasingly being seen as sort of elitist exercises that really don't represent the will of the people.
I think that's exactly right. I think that there seemed to be something that's, you know, a life onto its own. They see people, you know, going around in fancy limousines and staying at big hotels and all those kinds of things. And they don't really relate to them. Not that under other circumstances that they can't be hometown proud. I mean, we look at the Vancouver Olympics for a tremendous success, you know, and some of these things are good city building things. But I think there's a time and a place for everything, as my granny used to say. And I think right now people want governments to focus on the nuts and bolts, on making life more affordable, and not off on these frolics.
I have to say, I can't think of another city that in many respects fits the needs of the IOC when it comes to hosting the Olympics in Calgary. It just seems such a natural fit and so successful back in the 80s. Do you think we've reached the point now where Canadian cities are just no longer interested in these kind of events?
Well, I think they have to be under the right circumstances. And I think clearly when you've been suffering, as Calgary has for the last number of years, when oil is now, you know, the discount on their oil is just so punishing, and they're not seeing those jobs come back. And they're seeing their friends, you know, they're seeing their friends hurting. You know, we have an office out there, and, you know, it's tough. You go into restaurants that used to be packed, and they're empty now, or they're closed. And, you know, people are struggling, and I think that it just didn't feel right, I think, for a lot of people to have a big party.
Jamie, a really fascinating column in the Toronto Star. I encourage people to check it out. Thank you for joining us today to talk about it. Thank you.
Well, thanks for being in touch, Rick. I hope you have a great day.
Thank you. You too. Jamie Watt is Executive Chairman for Navigator Limited, a big conservative strategist, obviously, veteran political consultant. I appreciate you, Jamie, joining us today.